It's time to tune up your taste buds and take a trip to culinary heaven, because we're live from Jasper's Kitchen, presented by Hen House. Sit back, relax, and enjoy something new from the wonderful world of delicious cooking with our favorite chef, Jasper Marabli, and his co-host, food journalist, Kimberly Stern. And now, here's the godfather of Italian cooking, Chef J-Man and Toots.
Hey, my friends, this is Jasper Marabli.
And Katie Van Lucien.
Who is filling in today for Miss Kimberly, who is on special assignment today.
Yes, I'm channeling Kimberly right now.
That's right. You know she's listening to us. She was complaining about a little Wi-Fi this morning. I don't know.
I think she's just taking some time off.
That's good. That's good. And you know she'll bring back some delicious guests for us to interview.
Oh, absolutely. So to Kimberly, I say, hey, pumpkin.
Speaking of pumpkins, very good lead-in, Miss Katie. Okay, my friends, we're talking pumpkins. It's pumpkin days in the weeks preceding Halloween. Make sure you visit all the Hen House locations. We're going to have their annual massive pumpkin display, and you can even take pictures with the great pumpkin. That's right, Kansas City's largest pumpkins. Have you seen them all outside?
Oh, they're beautiful. I've already picked mine out to put on my doorstep, decorate for the holidays.
I remember when I was younger, my mom and dad used to always get one of those Big Mac pumpkins, and they have one out there. They're like 75 pounds, but they have those. They have Fairy Tale, Cinderella, One Too Many, Red Warty Thane. I've never heard of that one. Maybe I have. I've seen it. Uncle Fester. I like him. He's pretty ugly. Australian Blue, Rumbo Blue, White, Blue Magic. Come on. The list is endless. Turk Turban. I love those.
Those are beautiful.
They really are. Of course, pie pumpkins and gourds.
I like the mini pumpkins. They've got a ton of them.
I like putting them on my plates when I do pumpkin ravioli. Apprentice Pokemon. That should be a big one this year.
Huge.
Mini Indian corn, ornamental gourd, and of course they have snake gourds, which are also known as kakuts. And you know me and my obsession with kakuts, along with those Big Macs and premium pumpkins. So you need to come on out here to Hen House Market right now.
Yeah, use your gourd and come out here. Pick out your pumpkin.
Use your gourd. I like that. This is like having Miss Kimberly next to me. Well, pumpkins are only 3 for $12. Those are the large ones. And pie pumpkins are 2 for $4. So stop by your favorite Hen House location and see the astounding assortment of squashes and pumpkins. And don't forget, my friends, the specials of the week. Chicken breast, only $2.99 a pound. I wish we could pay that at Jasper's restaurant a pound for chicken. What a great deal. Strip steaks, only $6.99 a pound.
I'm there.
Come on. You're telling me something. You're bringing home something special for someone special at home.
Well, Jerry loves his tippin' pies.
Oh, who doesn't? So, come on.
And you know what? You stop by today and you might just win a certificate for we just need a secret word.
Okay, let's see. What would think of one? Jack-o'-lantern.
Jack-o'-lantern. That's it.
How about it? Jack-o'-lantern. That'll be our secret word today. You have many pie certificates to give away. And look what I was just handed.
I know.
$4 gift certificates to the Hen House Market. So stop on by. We are at the Fairway location right on Shawnee Mission Parkway. It's a beautiful store. We're right here in the deli by the bakery. You know, I haven't seen the singing baker yet. Have you?
Oh, listen.
I don't know where he's at.
Yeah. They've got all kinds of pies back there. Pumpkin, they've got pecan pie.
Oh, German chocolate pie. So what are you going to pick? A fruit or custard or chocolatey?
Maybe chocolatey for Jerry.
The German chocolate one is heavy, I'm telling you.
Don't tell him.
You know he's listening right now. There's a lot going on in Kansas City this week. I mean, you have a full list of Kim dishes.
What, here's something fun that goes on every Sunday at our friend Danny O'Neill's, the Roastery
Under the Plane.
It's the food truck brunch from 10 to 2. Fantastic food truck food, and you know they're going to have good coffee.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Roastery coffee. It's something else that's going on with friends of ours. Michael and Nancy Smith are big into the support, the taste of the NFL.com.
That's huge.
And it is raising money for harvesters.
Oh, so that's beautiful.
Support that. Help some kids.
That's really something. And, you know, speaking of harvesters right now, you can go to the Hen House locations around Kansas City, and students from Rockhurst High School, Barstow, St. Teresa, Shawnee Mission East, Blue Valley, et cetera, are at different Hen House markets collecting for harvesters right now.
Yeah, I love the name. Trick or treat so kids can eat. Isn't
that
fantastic?
That. And I got to throw in a little plug here. Speaking of Rockhurst High School, the vice president who is running for vice president of the United States, Tim Kaine,
yeah,
was in Kansas City last night, class of 76.
Wow, he's
so
a youngster.
So I was a freshman when he was a senior. I'm going to tell you that. He was in Kansas City for our homecoming. I say our because, you know, we're all men for others at Rockers.
Yep.
For the homecoming and the and all the reunions, all my friends are on Facebook, all took pictures with him.
Yeah.
Frankie DeLuna, all these kids who I haven't seen for years are all posting their pictures. So a little plug for Tim Kaine and also for Rockers High School there.
There you go. Terrific.
So what else? I'm kind of hungry. I know you got a lot on your list here today. Well, I was looking pumpkins everywhere.
We've got Old Town Lenexa.
Oh, they got a big chili festival going on.
Yes, chili festival. That's, you'd think
this fall, is the perfect weather.
Fall and
well,
chili.
It's going to get a little warm today, but it was the perfect weather still.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
And they have a hot pepper eating contest. I wonder if our friend James Worley knows about that.
Whoa, that's beyond
I was in
me.
Italy, and I met a lady named Pepperita. Her name is Rita. And I'm writing an article in the Kansas City Star about Rita. But she has a pepper farm where she raises 80,000 peppers.
Wow.
I ate the newest, hottest pepper in the world. It's a scorpion. Trinidad scorpion.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to
Ouch.
Tell you about my eye. I got a little in my eye. It's a long story.
You can also play with your dog.
Hey, I wish I would have known. I would have brought Lola and Teddy.
Know.
Where's that at?
Pup-up party to benefit, again, Wayside Ways. Fantastic
Wait
charity
a second. Take that
town.
Back. Pup-up party, not pop-up.
Not pop-up, pup-up party. This is from 2 to 6.
I like that.
At the Wayside Ways location on Martha Truman Road.
Oh, how about that? Hey, I got to tell you, I just got a text. Our friend Carmen, if you listen to the show, you know about Carmen. He just said, where's Kim? I want to know.
I'll do my best to try to take her place.
No, what's the matter with him?
No one can take Kim's place.
That's not right, Carmen.
I'll give you a certificate. Will
oh,
that make
believe
up
me,
for
he's
it?
Had enough pies. Hey, did you see what's going on over at Powell Gardens? They're doing a big pumpkin festival.
Beautiful.
They're doing pumpkin carving over there.
Yeah, beautiful. And it's the Glow Jack-O-Lantern Festival from 6 to 10. Beautiful
700 carved pumpkins. Hey, do you ever follow Jonathan Bender on Recommended Daily?
It's fantastic. And isn't it exciting what he's doing about making our barbecue even more famous?
Is that something that, what's it called? Is it called Burnt Ends?
Yeah, the Burnt Legend. It's chapter 4 on, and he's talking about LC's barbecue.
I'm a burn in man.
On KCPT, Flatland, and Recommended Daily.
Last week we had Julie, our hostess. We sent her out to go to LC's for Tony and myself and my nephew because she lives that way, and she brought us LC's burn ends. At 4 o'clock before we started working, I'm telling you, not a good thing to eat before you're going into a Saturday night. I was a little tired. Well, Katie, we have a delicious show coming on right now. Who do you
really
have on?
Good. We've got some fantastic guests. We've got the people who are Southern cooking experts.
The Lee brothers. And also, we have our friends from Blanc Burgers.
Yeah.
So don't go nowhere, my friends. This is Jasper Morabli and, of course,
Katie Van Lucien.
Right here on KCMO Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710. Hey, this is Jasper.
And Katie Van Lucien.
We are live from Jasper's Kitchen at the Hen House Market in Fairway. Come on out and join us right now because Katie has a whole handful of Tippins Pie certificates and...
Listen, as saying gift certificates for Hen House. That looks fantastic.
Come on.
All you need is the secret word.
Which is...
Okay, jack-o'-lantern.
Jack-o'-lantern. Come by and say the word jack-o'-lantern. And you're going to get some pies. I'm telling you, there's some delicious pies here at the Hen House Market, along with last of the season, Prima. I'm telling you, Prima. They're primo. Yellow peaches, they're on sale right now. Chicken's on sale right now. Those delicious Tippins pies. How about this? 93% lean ground beef, filet mignon. Oh, my. And you could also get my, what's that? What'd you see?
That's a fantastic price.
Is
on
that
the
beautiful? Filet mignon. You just cut it with a fork. And chicken Normandy. That's my recipe of the week. So I think you'll like it. It has a little bit of apple brandy in there.
I'm going to try that.
It's very simple. All the recipes, I try to keep, you know, 8 ingredients or less every week. So stop on by at Hen House Market because also it's time for pumpkins. Stop by your favorite Hen House location and see the astounding assortment of squashes and pumpkins such as Apprentice, Pokemon, Mini Pumpkins, Mini Indian Corn, Hubba Hubba, Pie Pumpkins, Birdhouse Gourd, Apple Gourd. The list is endless. Look at the Swan Gourd.
Hubba Hubba. I thought you were talking about my husband.
Hubba Hubba. Oh, yeah. you got Tippins Pie and Jerry on your mind right now, lady. He's a good man. Uncle Fester, Australian Blue. Also Blue Magic, Indian Corn, Bales of Hay, Prairie Grass, and Hardy Mums. They're all here at your neighborhood Hen House Market. You have a delicious lineup coming up here today,
oh,
don't you, lady?
Oh, gosh, we've got some great ones. You know, Southern cooking. Do you get much better than
I'm telling you, I didn't know about this until my good friend, Shanita. She was telling me about this. You know, she used to have Magnolias, and she went to, like, a cookbook boot camp. So it was really unique. We got to talk to the Lee brothers, Kimberly and I, and they have this peanut catalog. You really got to look at this catalog. It's very unique.
Boiled peanuts.
Yeah,
classic.
How about it? You know, I never had a boiled peanut until I was driving down south, and we stopped at Jimmy Carter's farm, my father and I. We stopped there on the below outside of Atlanta, and I got my pencils with his name on, you know, and question. We met the president and his wife. It was really kind of unique, and got a bag of peanuts for the road trip down to Florida. So, really unique. We also have on block burgers today.
Oh, you know, really, Ernesto brought into Kansas City gourmet burgers. Oh, they're still so delicious.
How about those onion rings with the Boulevard batter on them?
So good.
French fries in that little grocery basket?
Yeah, I love
this
them.
Really started the hamburger craze in Kansas City.
I agree. The inside-out burger is my favorite with the blue cheese.
Hey, did you see what I put up there about a little wine fountain?
Isn't that fantastic? I've got to go to Italy.
There's a wine fountain in Italy. I don't know if you know, Larry and I are remodeling the shopping center. We put a beautiful fountain out in front of Marco Polo's.
Yeah.
And people are making wishes and throwing coins in there.
You know, congratulations on
your
facelift.
Thank you. How about very good, Katie. I like that.
Looking beautiful.
We're almost done. We have a little bit more left. We still have some landscaping and some more of the buildings to finish up and everything.
It looks fantastic.
But there's a fountain out there that looks very similar to this wine fountain.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, Leonard, we need to hook up a little box of wine to this and let people go out on the porch. We really start a little commotion in Kansas City. Well, Katie, we need to get on with our next interview. It's the Lee brothers, and I'll tell you what, I'm very hungry. Let's take it away right here on KCMO Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
Kimberly, what do you call it when I start messing with my cookbooks and I make my little notes up here and start tearing the edges?
You dog ear. You dog ear the corners, Jasper.
I have dog eared a lot of pages in this cookbook here, of course. And you're going to talk about our next guest here because I'm a little overwhelmed with this book.
We are so fortunate to have Ted Lee of the Lee Brothers. Of course, his brother is Matt, but we've got Ted on the phone with us from Charleston. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning.
Charleston, hot, hot, hot on the food scene. Come on.
Well, true. It is hot on the food scene. There's so many restaurants here, and it's exciting. But what's interesting is growing up in Charleston, there actually wasn't a big restaurant scene. I like to think the food scene was very developed because we've had hundreds of years of culinary history to draw from. But the restaurant culture in Charleston has really only developed in the last 20 years.
I love, Ted, on the cover, the jacket cover of your cookbook that we'll talk about in a minute, you and your brother grew up in a warbler yellow house on Charleston's fabled Rainbow Row. And here's what you're talking about, that Charleston has been... It's been a food city all along because you learned at a very early age how to cast for shrimp, right?
Yeah. I mean, Charleston is the kind of place where you can't help but knowing a lot about food of the city simply by growing up there. Because when you're a kid, you know where the mulberry and fig trees are and the lemon trees because you use them as projectiles. You know, you throw them at your friends, and you're not even thinking, like, I'm having this amazing food experience. I'm picking fruit from a tree and eating it. And you're probably only eating every four figs you pick, you're only eating one. You're throwing the rest at your friends. But it is true that a lot of the rites of passage of life in Charleston as a kid, like learning how to tie a drop line, which is a string around a chicken neck and throw it off a dock, and you reel in blue crabs that way, or... that's something you learn when you're like 7 or 8 because it's super easy and it's super fun to do. And still you're not thinking like, oh, mom's going to make crab dip out of this or anything like that. But it's just something you do as sport. You know, you learn how to throw in the cast net to catch shrimp. Like that's something that requires a little more dexterity. So you learn it maybe around age 12, age 13, by which time you've also learned how to shuck an oyster, and that time that your mom or dad gives you the oyster knife and lets you shuck your own oyster, like that's something you remember. It's something you sort of own. What was interesting for us is that having grown up in Charleston, both my brother and I went to colleges in the Northeast, and then we got there and realized there was all this knowledge about food that we had that most of our classmates did not have because, they grew up in Chicago. you know, nowhere to throw a cast net in Chicago.
And we're talking South Carolina low country food. We're talking,
That's correct.
Which is a little bit different than other southern regional cuisines.
Yeah, it is. It is a very different cuisine. And that's really what, you know, the first book we wrote, which came out in 2006, the Lee Brothers Southern Cookbook, that's what that book was all about. Like, we traveled all over the South for magazines and newspapers. And in that book, we really wanted to show how different the South is from place to place, and that Southern cooking isn't just one thing. You really, like, from the coast of South Carolina to the mountains of Kentucky, you know, like Owensboro, Kentucky, you know, you're talking about two completely different places. You know, in the same way that people talk about Italian regional food, you know, the food in Rome is different from the food in Tuscany. You know, by the same token, the food in Owensboro, Kentucky is different from the food in Charleston, South Carolina. And the exciting thing is that you taste it when you travel. So, you know, you can taste how different a place is.
Okay, Hop and John. What would be the difference in the Hop and John that I have in Charleston or the Hop and John I have down in Kentucky?
Well, in Kentucky, you probably wouldn't encounter Hop and John in many places because, you know, Hop and John is a dish that comes from a rice culture. We're a rice culture. We're a culture, you know, rice was grown in the low country, you know, in the 1700s and 1800s. And, you know, that's why Hop and John exists there. It's Sea Island field peas, which were grown in on the Sea Islands of South Carolina. And that's how that dish came together. So if you're finding Hop and John in Kentucky, you're probably eating, you know, an interpretation of it because, as far as I know, rice was never grown in Kentucky.
So just like she crab soup. I mean, I've had she crab soup in Florida. It's not the same as it is in Charleston.
Oh, no, you could make a great, that's not what I'm saying. You can make a great Hop and John in Kansas City if you know how to make it, you know. I wouldn't really be comparing, you know, apples to apples because, you know, that as a regional food, Hop and John is not a regional food of Kentucky. Like a regional food of Owensboro, Kentucky would be mutton barbecue.
Understood.
You know, you might be able to find someone doing mutton barbecue in Charleston, but it's certainly not an iconic dish of that region. You see what I'm saying?
It makes a lot of sense. Of course, of course.
So how did you and your brother get from pitching figs and other things at friends to actually getting into the world of cooking and food?
That's a great question. Well, we had our parents are not in the food world at all. They are both educators, and my mother took a job when we were in our teens, where she was actually commuting to New York. As strange as that might seem, because it was in the 80s, like to have a mom who was like leaving on Monday morning, taking a jet through Atlanta because there was no direct flight to New York, and then returning on Friday night was very bizarre. It was very super bizarre. The cool thing was my dad worked full time too, and they both love cooking, even though they're not like food industry people, and they're not trained as chefs by any means. They're just home cooks. But Dad loved, you know, he didn't want to just like take us out to McDonald's every night. So we ended up cooking a lot in the kitchen, and we were Dad's prep cooks, basically.
Oh my gosh!
Which meant doing the shopping, you know. And when you do food shopping when you're 15 years old, you learn a lot that way. Even when you like, when I was, all I wanted to do was be on my skateboard as a kid. But you know, I had to help out the family, so I would get a shopping list, and you know, it would say, buy a pound of shrimp, Harris Teeter, shop, you know, supermarket. So you go and you say, okay, I want a pound of shrimp. And suddenly the guy behind the fish counter would say, well, do you want head on or head off? Do you want them peeled, deveined? Like, what, how do you want them? And then you're like, oh, God, you know, so you learn these lessons in sort of how to shop, how to provision. And so, again, by the time you graduate from college, you're like, oh, I know how to do this. It's not, you know, it wasn't something I don't think that Matt or I ever pursued until we were, you know, like in our mid-20s. But by then, we knew how to cook. Mm-hmm. We also had an uncle who was very influential in our lives, who was in the food industry. He owns restaurants in Toronto, of all places. And we'd gone and worked for him during the summers. And he's a very engaging, like a lot of restaurateurs, just really engaged in food culture, and he's sort of ahead of his time. Like, one of my errands, I remember when I must have been, 18 years old, and my job was to go out and pick the pickup from the abattoir, you know, the slaughterhouse, the beef that he was having custom raised and custom cut for one dish on his menu, which was a carpaccio.
Well, Ted, hold that thought.
Wait,
hold,
carpaccio? Hold that thought. Oh, my gosh. We got to talk about this,
we'll come
Kim.
Back. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Ted Lee, who, of course, is half of the Lee brothers, and talk more about Charleston as a food destination and about beef carpaccio.
My friends, don't go nowhere. This is Jasper Morabile
and Kimberly Stern.
We are live from Jasper's Kitchen celebrating 10 years right here on KCMO.
FM 103.7, AM 710, Kansas City's most stimulating talk. On live from Jasper's Kitchen with Ted Lee, straight from Charleston, South Carolina, which, of course, Condé Nast has listed as one of the top food destinations. And Ted is kind enough to be our culinary ambassador to Charleston today, Jasper. And when we left him in the last segment, he was talking about, or you were talking about, beef carpaccio.
Oh, Ted, welcome back.
Yeah. How did we end up there from Charleston, right?
So let's get back to this. So you're fetching the beef.
You have to imagine that in Charleston in the summertime, like in July and August, it's so hot. It's just like there's no escaping it. And our house didn't have air conditioning, so my parents would ship me up to Toronto to my uncle's, and I just went to work, you know, at his restaurant doing odd jobs because I couldn't be paid because I wasn't legal. I was too young to never work visa.
I know that.
So I just did whatever odd jobs he wanted me to do, and one of the things was picking up this custom-raised, custom-cut beef that he would serve as carpaccio. His menu was an Italian restaurant called Orso. So I did get some background in sort of restaurant culture and stuff, but it, literally, like, that was the last time I worked in a restaurant when I was, like, I guess the last time I worked for him was when I was 21 years old. And
your uncle owned Orso in Toronto?
Yeah, he is.
Well, of course.
He
that's well
has a
known.
Butcher now.
There's
he owns a butcher now.
Back in the 80s, though, and 90s, though, that was well known, Orso.
Yes, it was. He was a business partner of a guy named Joe Allen, who's a new in New York. And he opened the Joe Allen and the Orso in Toronto.
I know them very well.
Him.
John Arena was a good friend of my father's and used to travel to Toronto a lot. And Orso was on the list of restaurants. I remember back in the day, back in 88 and 95. So,
yeah.
It's a small world.
To find restaurants that have been around for a while, like in Kansas City, Matt and I have spent some time in Kansas City eating our weight in barbecue.
Oh, come on.
But my brother's wife, Gia, grew up there, and her father was the pianist at the American restaurant for many, many years.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Literally like 20 years, maybe?
Wow.
I've had to meet him before because we spent many nights there listening to the piano there, my father,
right?
And my brothers, and myself.
There's
but
always
isn't it
a
cool
connection.
When you find like a classic restaurant that's been around for, you know, just years and years. It's really fun.
Well, let's talk about this cookbook of yours, the Lee Brothers Charleston Kitchen. It's going to become a classic. Jasper, like we said, has just been leafing madly through this, and it's really gorgeous, and I love the way
that you've
divided it up.
And I love, you know, the she crab soup, of course, the Hoppin' Johns, but then a lot of the other recipes, you know, some new treasures and your takes on different dishes. Rosemary glazed figs. Oh, my gosh. Mm.
You
look at desserts too, Kimberly.
That was a riff on syllabub. But, you know, what's exciting, this was our third book, and it really was the book that we grew up to write, I feel like. You know, the first book was more encyclopedic. It was all about the South. Our second book, Simple Fresh Southern, was more like a take on the weeknight cooking that we do that we feel doesn't compromise any of its Southernness, but is really quick and fast and fresh. And this book is really all about our hometown, and we really wanted to go deep on it. But we also found in looking at old cookbooks from the Lowcountry, you know, going back to the early 1800s, that there had always been this very creative sort of spark You know, it was like cooks responding to what was growing, what they heard was growing well. And so if you look at a book like 200 Years of Charleston Cooking, which was published in the early part of this century, but sort of was metabolizing everything that had come before, there are four different recipes for green tomato relish, you know? And that means something. That means that everyone's cooking differently from house to house. And so if you go to Charleston, you're not just going to have one green tomato recipe. You're not just going to have one shrimp and grits. There's a real creative spark that's been throughout Charleston cooking, and we wanted to sort of continue that, but completely pay respect to classics. I mean, you'll find Jerusalem artichoke pickles in our book, and that's just, like, totally traditional. You know, things like smoked shad, those are, you know, that's just, you know, classic old school stuff.
Well,
then, you know, with the shad recipes, we tell the story of, you know, a contemporary guy who, you know, we're so lucky to have him. He debones shad, which is really difficult to do, but he's super talented. So we were able to tell the, you know, stories about the people who make the people and the food that make Charleston.
Your
so
passion,
unique,
right? I mean, just talking to you in this short time, your passion comes out. We can go on, Kimberly, for another hour. This cookbook, myself, I mean, this is tonight. I'm just going to take it home when I finish working.
And
just keep,
you know,
reading this.
You are, and so am I. And Ted, we have unfortunately about a minute left.
No
so
way, it's over.
I know. So very quickly, Ted, what is the favorite thing you're cooking right now?
Oh wow!
Very quickly.
Oh gosh. Very quickly. Oh gosh. The thing I'm cooking right now, it's going to be in our next book: whole roasted cauliflower.
Oh, that's huge right now. Seriously.
Yeah.
My friends down in New Orleans are doing something like this, so I got to see this. I got to hear more about this soon.
And I'm not sure how traditional the Charleston it is. Probably has very little to do with Charleston, although we do eat a lot of cauliflower. We grow it. But, yeah,
well,
that's what I happen to be cooking right now.
I'll tell you, and I want all my listeners to know, I'll be down in Charleston this summer. I'm following you. I'm going to the website. You can go to the website, which is Kimberly.
MattLeeAndTedLee.com.
It's all about Charleston, the new cookbook, shopping, recipes, everything that you want. So make sure you check them out. Hey, I'm telling you myself, the food, it looks so delicious in the book. I've cooked a few recipes already. I can't wait to meet you, my friend. I hope you can come to Kansas City sometime again. We'll share a little barbecue, perhaps.
I hope so, too. Look us up in Charleston for sure.
You know I will. This is Jasper Morabile.
And Kimberly Stern.
We are live from Jasper's Kitchen, celebrating 10 years right here on KCMO.
FM 103.7, AM 710, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Hey, this is Jasper.
And Katie Van Lucien.
We are live from Jasper's Kitchen, Henhouse Market, Fairway, Kansas. You need to get here because, Katie, you still have some certificates to give away.
I want to give these away. It is Tippin's Pies certificate. All you need to do is say the secret word.
And it is?
Jack-o'-lantern.
Come on, my friends. We've already given away about six or seven of them so far. Come on out to the Henhouse Market today because you're going to see the most beautiful selection of pumpkins and gourds.
So pretty.
Corn shocks. Is that word shocks? I never heard of shocks.
You know,
stalks?
Stalks.
Maybe a bunch of stalks is a shock. I don't know. Full straw bales, prairie grass, mums, and these pumpkins. Cinderella, one too many, Australian blue, red warty thing. Turk turban, hubba hubba. I think you're going to have a hubba hubba today. You're going to get a hubba hubba. I know you are. Pokemon for the kids, ornamental gourds, and more. It's all here. It's your neighborhood Henhouse Market because your favorite henhouse location has the most astounding assortment of squashes and pumpkins, three for $12. Those large jack-o'-lanterns. That's right. And that's the secret word.
Jack-o'-lantern. Come by.
Jack-o'-lantern. Come on by and see Kimberly. I'm thinking I got Kimberly
it's,
on my mind
it's
right
okay.
now. Kimberly's on the special assignment, so Katie from K-Squared is here, and these are like the two partners in crime. Boy, you guys are all around. You got something big coming up this week, you two.
I tell you what, we've got a new client, Donutology, Westport. Took over a beautiful place.
Donuts? Don't tell me. Donutology likes the study of donuts?
Yes. Yes, you get your donut gene. You get to pick out your different toppings. They're in beakers. It's really fun. They've got donut shakes, Jasper.
This is dangerous.
Donut shakes.
So a soft opening, I guess.
Yes, on Wednesday. So stop by.
Oh, I'll be there at 3 o'clock. Don't worry. Right at the lunch hour, I'm coming. My friend, did you hear that? A soft opening. You got a sneak peek. You need to come see him. You'll come meet Kimberly and Miss Katie and have a good time and enjoy a little donuts. That's pretty cool. Well, my friends, we're going to get on with this next interview because I'm telling you, this is going to be talking hamburgers right now.
Gourmet burgers. You know, Blanc Burgers is going on to 10 years.
That's something else. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, absolutely. They even have some new things. They've got a new half Kobe beef and half Berkshire pork.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
A new burger. Doesn't that sound fantastic?
You know what? People don't realize this. I go there, and I have the fish sandwich.
Yeah.
And even if you don't want the bun, even though I love those farm to market buns, just get the fish. It is fantastic. Yep. Now, you save on the bun, you eat the onion ring.
Or the French fries.
The truffle fries. That was the first place I ever had truffle fries.
Fantastic.
Not even in France. I had truffle fries at Blanc Burgers, first time 10 years ago.
Nice people.
Well, my friends, you need to get on over there to Blanc Burgers. Ask for my friend Ernesto Perlata Jr. because Ernesto is a warm host he is.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
And he knows about burgers. He'll make a few recommendations on burgers and bottles. This is Jasper Morabili.
And Katie Van Lucien.
Right here on KCMO, Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710, Talking Burgers.
Ah, Miss Kimberly, when you're starting off a Saturday morning with this beautiful cheeseburger in front of me, does it get any better than this?
You know what? I've got the Inside Out Burger, and yours looks pretty good, though, Jay.
I mean, we're talking gourmet burgers from a scratch kitchen, 10 years in Kansas City. We're talking with our good friend, Ernesto Perlata from Blanc Burgers.
10 years, Ernesto. Where have the past 10 years gone?
No, I was thinking about it, and I don't know. It just blew by. We're actually going to start a 10th year in just a few months, so we're thinking of what cool things we're going to be doing next year.
Think about it. I mean, don't blink. I always said. I remember the first time I took my baby down there. She was like 13 years old.
And, are you serious?
Sure. And we were down there. And we were walking around Westport, the original location, and it was like, are you kidding? Then she even went to homecoming at the Mission Farms location. Uh-huh. I remember that on a Saturday night. I had to come down there and take care of some little issues with the kids.
Well, that Mission Farms location is hopping.
Yes, it is. The whole place is just growing and developing. And you know, we're meeting a lot of new people, which is really cool.
And you were, the second or third restaurant?
We were the second restaurant. Yeah. Blue Koi was there.
Blue Koi was the first. Scott was the first.
And now we're one of... five restaurants.
Yeah, locally owned.
All of them, yes.
Yeah.
Now, you've kept the menu almost the same from the beginning. I mean, come on, your signature fries in the basket, you know, in the little grocery cart basket.
Yeah, we serve the fries a la carte.
And a la carte. They
literally.
I never thought about that. That's why you say that.
Jasper.
I'm not kidding. I said grocery basket. I didn't ever think about that. You still make the homemade pickles.
Correct.
The signature ketchup, the sauce.
Yes, yes, yeah.
I hate to say this, Kimberly, you're not going to believe this. And Ernesto,
I'll
knows
believe
this.
Anything that comes out of your mouth.
Have you ever had the fish there?
Oh, I love the fish.
Mahi's my favorite.
Yeah. So whenever I'm trying to be on a diet, I'll skip that beautiful farm-to-market roll, that fresh-baked roll, which really, you started it all in Kansas City with this burger craze. With that, you were the first one with this roll.
You know, we were lucky enough. Yes, we were lucky enough to work with the farm-to-market since the beginning. And, you know, kind of like when we did something right, we decided to continue to do the right things, you know, almost 10 years later.
Well, let's talk about your newest star at Blanc Burgers because it sounds absolutely mouthwatering. It's half American Kobe, half Berkshire pork mixed together.
Yes. That was probably one of the first burgers that it was almost 100% my idea. And I'm really excited about it. You know, we topped that off with bacon jam. We topped that off with onion
bacon
strings,
jam.
Jalapenos, garlic aioli. It's probably my number one or two selling burger right now.
Mm. And when you say something like that, American Kobe and Berkshire pork, is that like bork or something like that?
Pork. Well, it's just...
I like that.
Beef and pork.
I know, beef and pork. That sounds good. Well, we call it the half and half. You know, half pint.
But all the great flavor of pork
and Kobe mixed together into one patty.
Together. Oh my God!
Yeah, it's locally produced, especially for us. And that's my pride and joy right now.
Now, one of the things you're also known for is your extensive beverage selection. You've got almost 100 bottles of different types of beer, wine, and soda. Plus, you have a full bar.
Plus alcohol, correct, yes. You know, everything that, you know, you can drink, you know, comes out of a bottle, we try to cover it. So beer for the guys, wine for the ladies, sauce for everybody else.
Something really unique I found out, I didn't realize this. You make your own syrups.
Yes, we do for the shakes. We also have, you know, some really award-winning shakes locally.
Adult shakes.
Adult shakes as well. You know, we mix, you know, Kahlua and Bailey's, or we make the key lime shake or the tiramisu shake. These are all adult shakes.
Wait a second, tiramisu shake. How did I miss that one?
Well, you know, you got to keep coming back.
Cannoli? Cannoli shake?
Yeah, hey, you know, I'd love to come up with something like that.
There you go. He's going to take the cannoli challenge.
There
the
you go.
Cannoli
yeah, I love
challenge.
To come up with that.
A little cinnamon, a little bit of vanilla. Come on.
So when people come in, because I celebrated my birthday there 1 year.
Thank you.
It was such a great place to go in and order a special malt to get the fries a la carte and the rings and a beautiful burger. And I mean, it's a great place to stop in after you've been shopping, or it's a great date night.
You know,
a great family place.
And that's what we tried to do. I wanted to create a place that it was really cool for the, you know, mom and dad to go out by themselves. But it was also really cool to take the kids out to you, or let the kids, you know, in high school go out on a date, or after a game of golf for the guys, or the ladies with the ladies night out. You know, we just tried to hit everybody.
And I'll tell you what, those onion rings, because Kimberly, you just mentioned them. With that batter, do you use the Boulevard beer in the batter?
Yes. We
still do. From the beginning.
That's from the beginning, yes.
Oh, my gosh, that's one thing about this. And I remember when you did this 10 years ago, and it really wasn't that popular. It was just really catching on the locals, supporting the locals. And you have it all listed on the menu, all the local people you support.
You know, I, you know, we are a local business, and I believe in supporting as many local businesses as we can.
No kidding.
And, of course, Ernesto, you love to get back to the community, and you work with local charities and schools a lot.
Correct, yes.
Because you believe in building a strong community.
Yes, you know, I believe in helping out and, you know, building a stronger community around us.
Which it's all, that's what it's all about. I mean, supporting the local growers and food artisans and producers. So, okay, so when Ernesto takes his little 6 and 7 year old to school, I mean to dinner there, what do they order?
My kids, they love the Gouda mac and cheese.
Okay.
My son is now 7 years old, and he tops it off with a grilled piece of chicken breast.
Okay.
So, and then homemade applesauce.
No kidding.
And of course, they always have to have either a chocolate shake or the strawberry shake.
And let's talk about the quick fix menu. The it's kind of like a luncheon special.
It's been
a
lunch
since the beginning, also.
Correct. Yes. You know, for $10, you get a choice of burger, and a side of salad or fries or rings. On most of the burgers. On some of the burgers, it's going to be a little bit of an upcharge, but you know, I think it's still a great deal. You know, for $10, you can get a good sized burger with homemade fries or perfectly made salad.
We're talking with Ernesto Perlata, of course, from Block Burgers over in Mission Farms. Now, soup, I didn't know anything about soup on the menu before.
We have soup.
Where am I at?
Where have you
I'm
been, Jasper?
You, no, I'm you're... kidding. I thought I knew this man's menu.
Yeah, we have the deli soup. So it's it's not like we have a specific soup, but that we allow the chefs to come up with their own creations.
And, you know, Ernesto, it's not really a craze. The burger, people love burgers. I mean, burgers, it's mainstream. It's not a craze.
Correct. No, people in America are going to continue to eat burgers. You know, statistics say that people eat about 2 times a week, they eat burgers.
No kidding.
So.
And you'd like them to eat Blanc burgers,
please. Love it when they do. I love it when they do.
But when you think of Blanc burgers, you think of burgers. But don't forget, I mean, the calamari fries, the beer battered mushrooms.
Cheese curds.
Those cheese curds. Oh, my gosh. Kimberly, as I go through the menu right now, I'm hungry. I mean, we're passing along a cheeseburger here, a little sample here, but there's so much more. And you got me on that a la carte. I didn't know that.
You're very good, Jasper. And, you know, one of the things, too, I love going into Blanc because I love the interior that your wife, beautiful wife Jennifer, created.
Thank
I mean,
you.
It's just, it's fresh. It just aligns with what you're doing food-wise, too.
We wanted to create a minimalistic, modern-looking place, you know, to complement everything else that we do.
Well, Ernesto, it's a pleasure. We cannot wait to celebrate 10 years with you. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. Stay tuned, and we'll keep you informed.
Kimberly, you know what? We talk about locals a lot here on the show. You found another one to bring back with us, an old friend, Ernesto Pilato. We appreciate this so much. I mean, I think of all the great sandwiches, the great salads on the menu, that local bacon on that salad, you know, and all the memories I have of going there when you first opened up. You were really one of the pioneers with this burger craze, and it's not really a craze anymore. This is it.
Hey, we're here to stay. We're here to stay.
We appreciate it, my
Keep
friend.
Keep your hands off my burger today.
Come on, Kimberly. This is Jasper Morabili.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're live from Jasper's Kitchen talking burgers right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Now, I thought that was a fantastic interview.
That was a very good show.
What a good show. The Lee brothers, of course, Blanc Burgers, Talking Burgers. It's a beautiful Saturday. They tell me it's going to be 80 degrees outside.
It's crazy fall. I love this.
We're going to be back next week with another delicious show. You need to listen to us every week here on KCMO. It's live from Jasper's Kitchen. And, of course, I think it's time to go get me some pumpkins. How about you?
I'm going to pick my pumpkin out right now.
I know. No, you got more on your mind. You're going to pick out
I'm
a gonna pie.
I'm going to pick out a pie first.
You gotta love those Tippins pies, all the pumpkins. It's a great season. And tomorrow, I think I'm gonna take a little ride out to my friends over at the vineyard out in Kansas.
Oh, nice.
Somerset Ridge.
Yeah, beautiful.
What a beautiful weekend.
I'm gonna be at the Roastery Food Truck Brunch.